From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Graz.
Welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, just blocks away from our state capitol, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture. On today's show, we are talking about a subject with a special guest that is never easy to talk about, but one we are devoted to working on at Nebraska Family Alliance, and that is the issue of human trafficking. This issue matters because of the grave injustice it causes to those who become victims of this monstrous crime and the further erosion it causes to the value and sanctity of human life. Human trafficking is modern-day slavery in which people profit from exploiting others through force, fraud, coercion, or deception. The United States government has identified human trafficking as the fastest-growing criminal industry globally, and it happens everywhere, even here in Nebraska. In fact, according to the Governor's Task Force on Human Trafficking, 47 Nebraska schoolgirls are known to be trafficked each year, but the true number is likely much higher than that. Earlier this week, KETV News in Omaha reported on a sex trafficking investigation in Lincoln, which resulted in multiple arrests. Authorities arrested 6 men total, 2 of whom had agreed to meet an underage girl at the hotel. Lincoln Police Officer Angela Sands said, "When you hear someone is paying for sex, it's not as innocent as you may think. It's likely human trafficking involved somehow. Human trafficking is real. It's local. It's not just something you read in the news in another place. It's here." And sadly, we know that this is the case. This is our reality. And thankfully, there are a lot of good people out there who are trying to do something about it, and progress is being made to combat this evil and to put an end to human trafficking. One really big positive is a global fundraising and awareness campaign coming up next month to help end modern-day slavery. It's called the A21 Walk for Freedom, and it's taking place in communities around the world on October 19th, including in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm pleased to be joined now by the organizer of the Omaha A21 Walk for Freedom, Samantha Cosgrove. Samantha, it's great to have you with us again on the program.
Thanks, Nate. I appreciate your time to have me.
Well, we're glad to have you. And Samantha, first let me ask you, what's the story or background behind the name A21? What does that symbolize?
A21 actually stands for Abolitionist of the 21st Century. And it started out of Australia. Christine Kane, if you've ever heard of her, she's a preacher out of Hillsong in Australia. Her and her husband, Nick Kane, started the organization.
Yeah, I am familiar with her and the work that A21 does, and it's incredible the global impact that they are having. And now this includes the Walk for Freedom, the annual event taking place around the world. And Samantha, tell us, what do listeners need to know about the issue of human trafficking? Can you give us sort of an overview and, you know, specifically what this issue looks like even here in Nebraska?
Sure. So A21, they're kind of a threefold model. What they try to do are reach, rescue, and restore. So they're trying to reach the vulnerable and disrupt the demand of trafficking. And then they're obviously rescuing victims. They're seeking justice for the captors and seeking court proceedings against the perpetrators. And then they're restoring survivors and helping them get back to a healthy life, helping them with therapy and things like that. And we have local organizations that help around Nebraska too, because like you said, it is not only global, it is local, like you mentioned about that article in Lincoln. And when we talk about trafficking, I know it's kind of a vague word sometimes. And so A21 really focuses on the 5 main types of trafficking. So there's sex trafficking, which is what you were talking about earlier, when somebody is forced, coerced to perform commercial sex acts for somebody. There's also forced labor. So that's when somebody's forced to work in captivity for little or no pay. If you think of a garment factory, those are generally forced labor, people that are getting paid very minimally, working hard hours, working in harsh conditions. Another one that the pictures are so sad to me are these little fisher boys in kind of Eastern Asia. They'll take boys because their fingers are so little and nimble, and they'll make them work on these fish boats and get all the fish out of the nets and swim and do all this hard labor, and they're just little children. There's also bonded labor, which is when you're forced to work and pay back an impossible debt. And people may have heard about this when they talk about even children can be responsible for their parents' debt. And so this is really popular in places like brick kilns, where maybe a parent owes a debt to somebody and they're working it off, and now their children have to work with them as well. And it's really hard because the way that they structure the payback, you're basically never going to be out of debt. Like, you have to pay for your food, you have to pay for your living conditions. And then if you try and leave, they just tack on more fees, and basically you can never get out of the debt. There's involuntary domestic servitude, which is when you're forced to live. Basically, being a nanny or a housekeeper would be a common way to think about this. And this happens a lot in the United States as well, because when we think of people coming to the United States to work, great, come work. But what can happen is people lie to them and take their passports or take their visas. They scare them into getting deported. And so now these people are stuck in these homes, getting little to no pay. They're too scared to leave. They maybe don't speak the language. And so it's really a scary situation for them. But the great thing is that the government can actually help them, but their captors, their owners, don't tell them that. So they're really stuck in a scary situation. And the last one that A21 really focuses on is child soldiers. And obviously this is children, mainly in Africa or other countries in Europe, that are forced to be soldiers and be in war when they're just children. So that's mainly what A21 focuses on, those five main ways that trafficking is happening around the world.
Well, I appreciate you giving us that overview, because sadly, this evil does take on many different forms, even mm-hmm. here in our own communities, and in ways that, aren't always portrayed in the news or in the media or talked a lot about. So, Samantha, what's your reaction when you hear about or see a story like we talked about briefly, where there's a sex trafficking investigation, mm-hmm. In Lincoln, Nebraska, that leads mm-hmm. to some arrests? What does that do in you? What do you think people need to know about those types of incidents?
Yeah, I think that it's really a good sign when we see things like that happening locally, because we are deceived into thinking, I think a lot of people are deceived anyways, into thinking that trafficking isn't happening in our town, in our zip code, in our city, but it is. It's happening in everybody's town, every state, every country. And so I appreciate when the news can bring light to it so that we don't forget that it's actually happening in America. It's actually happening in Omaha. When I was reading about that situation that just happened in Lincoln, some people may think, well, only six guys were arrested. How bad is that really? But what the police officer said in the article was there were multiple more calls and text messages and communications from other people that wanted to solicit the sex, but the police just couldn't keep up with all the phone calls. And so there was many more people out there willing to buy sex from a 15-year-old child. And that is really sad to know. And I know people here in my hometown in Omaha that are survivors of trafficking. And so whenever I hear a story, it just breaks my heart, because I've got to see a little insight from my friends of what that healing process looks like and what that trauma care looks like and what it entails and how it affects the rest of their life. And so it really breaks my heart to think of these people that are stuck in trafficking. And that's why I'm involved with A21. Mm.
It is heartbreaking. And so, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, Samantha, you have decided to do something about it with the A21 Walk for Freedom, being a part of that. What is this walk all about?
So A21 started this walk, and I love it because it's using their global platform to make changes locally and globally. So they plan to have over 500 cities worldwide this year, over 40 countries, we're all going to walk on October 19th. And so it's awesome because the night before, when I go to sleep praying and thinking about our Omaha walk the next day, they're already walking on the other side of the world. And so I love that. I just love the idea of partnering globally to make a difference, but yet getting involved locally. And honestly, Nate, I'm not really involved that much locally on a day-to-day basis. There's great organizations here that do that, like Nebraska Family Alliance. Obviously, we appreciate you guys so much. Disrupting Traffic, Rejuvenating Women, Set Me Free Project. They do the hard work every day. But I was so moved in my heart to do something against trafficking that I just thought, I have to do something. And so what I chose to do was organize this walk every year. And we're going to get together and we just walk 3 miles and we walk in a single file line. So it's not like the typical walk that you see groups of people chit-chatting and conversing. We walk in a single file line and we walk silently and just we hold signs and we wear t-shirts or we wear black clothes just so people can see us and just perk their awareness and interest and their curiosity about what's going on, and maybe they'll ask questions and think about it. So that's what we're going to do on October 19th, and we're super excited to be doing our third year here in Omaha.
Well, I know it's a powerful event and a moving demonstration, and as you mentioned, this is something that's going to be happening not just across the country even, but around the world. What made you decide to help lead the charge in organizing a walk here in Omaha, Nebraska?
So, Nate, a few years ago, I wanted to attend a walk, but there was none locally. The closest one was several hours away. And so then it was too late for me to host. And so then the next year, I was like, man, we have to have a walk here. If we look at the statistics, we know sex trafficking is happening here in Omaha with the interstates and the highways. I mean, state troopers are trained on taking care of this because it is a problem here in Nebraska, and traffickers move people through our state. And so knowing those facts, I just couldn't sit by and not do something. And so, like I said, this is the one thing that I've chosen to do, the one way that I've chosen to help and raise awareness in my circle and locally. And that's why I got involved.
Well, I'm so glad that you did, because I know it's making a difference here in our own communities.
Thank you.
And Samantha, let me ask you, what do you hope to see accomplished after the A21 Walk for Freedom?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that happened to me was I was familiar with Christine Kane and I was familiar with this global organization, A21. But now I want to use that global platform to get awareness locally. And so I think there's plenty of other people out there like me that may have heard of A21 or Christine Kane or heard of the words human trafficking or modern day slavery, but they're not involved locally. And so we're actually going to have local trafficking organizations at the walk so that people can learn more. If they want to do more past the day of the walk, they can sign up for volunteering, they can get on email lists, they can donate, things like that. And so that's really what I want to do is, number one, obviously raise awareness, because there's still people that I talk to that have, one, never heard of human trafficking, or two, don't believe that it's happening and don't believe that it's happening locally. And then my second goal is to get people involved locally, because I think we should all be doing a part, whether that's praying, giving financially, or giving blessings of our time. And I just think that we're all humans, and if we really believe that all humans are valuable, then we should not be okay with any form of slavery. So that's my goal.
Oh, I couldn't agree with that more. And we all absolutely have an integral part to play in this. And thankfully, I think we're really starting to see a greater level of awareness and understanding of this issue. And there's still a long way to go. But I think this is something that, thanks to things like the A21 Walk for Freedom and the different organizations who are working on this issue in our communities, it's starting to become more of a priority.
Yeah.
So, Samantha, how can we take that next step and get closer to fulfilling the mission to see an end to this form of modern-day slavery?
Wow, that's kind of a huge question, Nate. Oh, my goodness. There's so many different things. People just need to really think about what level of involvement they want to do. I mean, the first thing is just to start thinking about it, just to open their minds to the fact that slavery is happening and what does that look like, and to take steps. There's some great documentaries out there that a company called Exodus Cry, who is out of Kansas City, they created two documentaries, Nefarious and Liberated. Those are great documentaries to watch. They're not for children to watch. That would be an adult viewing situation. You can start looking at the local organizations here. Start praying about what God wants you to do, because we know that this is breaking God's heart. You know, for those of us that are Christians, we think about, we were in slavery, right? Like, we were in slavery mm-hmm. to sin, and God set us free. And so we all should know what that feels like on a spiritual level. And then when we have that freedom in Christ, we want that physical freedom for people in the flesh as well. And so I just think praying against this, getting involved in prayer ministries. We even have like Disrupting Traffic, for example, they do local strip club outreaches. And so they need donations that they can take to the girls. They need gift bags created. They need cards written. So even if somebody's not ready to go out into the streets and start doing face-to-face ministry, they can do things like that, like put gift bags together, donate nail polish, things like that. So there are lots of different ways to get involved locally. And I think coming to the walk and meeting some of the people that run the local organizations will put people's mind at rest and take some of that feeling of intimidation, or, you know, this is a scary topic, I'm uncomfortable. You know, Nate, it's painful to think about slavery. And so sometimes people just, I feel like, numb themselves out and don't want to think about it. But I just, for me, that just wasn't an option. And so I think that everybody should be involved in some level, even talking to their friends and family about it. Just like, hey, do you know this is going on? I don't know anything about it, but would you like to learn more with me? Even just conversations like that.
It really does all make a difference in this. And Samantha, mm-hmm. you talked about it here, but there really is a huge role for the church and people of faith yeah. to play in this fight, isn't there?
I agree. Totally.
And so I think that it's something we need to continue talking about and educating others, educating ourselves and our churches, and speaking out. And also, as you mentioned, praying continually, I think, both mm-hmm. For the victims and the survivors, but also for the traffickers and buyers, so that hearts
yes.
and minds will be changed, and we can start to see the demand mm-hmm. Being cut down and more victims saved mm-hmm. and their lives restored. So, Samantha, we've got the A21 Walk for Freedom coming up. And why is it important for people to come out for this event, and what can they expect?
Yeah, so we're going to get together October 19th. We're going to have check-in around 9:30. The walk will start about 10. We're going to start, when you're talking about getting churches involved, we are partnering with First Christian Church on 66th and Dodd, right across from UNO. This is our second year partnering with them, and they're letting us host our walk on their site. So we're so thankful for that. And we're going to walk down to 72nd and Dodge, and then walk down 72nd to Pacific, and then turn around and go back to the church. And so I'm super excited, because obviously there's a lot of traffic on 72nd. We're going to be highly visible. People are going to see. We hand out little flyers for anybody that's interested, just to get more information. And like I said earlier, it's a peaceful walk. We're not going to be yelling or screaming or being vulgar in any way. It's a very peaceful walk. So I think that everybody would feel comfortable doing it. Children are totally welcome. Like I said, we are walking on a busy street on 72nd, so I would encourage strollers for the little ones. But I love when parents bring their children and show them that this is not okay. We're going to be involved. We're going to spend 2 hours on our Saturday morning saying that we care about this, because obviously the way that we show we care about things are prioritizing it with our time. And we don't have to talk about our children about the scary details, because that's not always wise either, you know, but even just starting that conversation with our children of, we value all people, God made all people in his image. And like you said earlier, even praying for the perpetrators, you know, even Jesus died for them, and they're humans too. And we want them and their hearts to be radically changed. So just simple conversations with our children about love and accepting people and not using people, treating people fairly. Those are all easy conversations that children can understand without having to talk to them about the ugly details about trafficking. So that's what I love doing with my children. And so I'd love to see children out this year at the walk. And our goal is to have 500 walkers. We've had over 100 every year. So I'm really hoping that the more walkers we have, the more impact we can make, the more people that are going to know about it, the more people are going to see us. And we're praying that the more lives can be transformed out of it.
It's a great goal to have, and I'm so thankful for this walk and the work that you are doing. So, Samantha, my final question, if mm-hmm. people would like to get more information about this walk or about A21, where can they turn to?
So it's really simple. You just go to A21's website, a21.org/registration, or just go to a21.org and you'll be able to figure it out. It's a free walk, but we do ask that you register just so we can keep track. And people can pre-order shirts online, or they can wear the shirts that they've had from previous years, or just wear black. We just all wear black. And so that's the simplest way to get involved. And one other thing, Nate, that I was thinking earlier when you asked how can people make a difference, one thing that I didn't mention, which is really close to my heart, is pornography. And that's one way that people can think about not seeing humans as commodities.
Absolutely.
And that's one of A21's huge platforms is, I'm not for sale. I'm not a commodity. I'm a person. And so just starting to even think and look in our own hearts of, how do I view humans? How do I view this man? How do I view this woman? Are they a commodity? Do I see them as a sexual object? Am I looking at pictures for sexual gratification? Things like that, that all is this underlying root of trafficking. And so I just didn't want to go away without mentioning that. And there's great organizations, like I mentioned Exodus Cry earlier. They're working globally to start abolitionist government platforms so that, like, you guys have even worked and focused on things that are happening in the United States as far as government laws and rules and regulations that are happening to help the victims and survivors of trafficking be protected, and to help bring justice and change the laws to protect these people. So I just didn't want to leave without mentioning that.
Well, thank you, Samantha. I'm glad mm-hmm. that you did. That's a huge part in this. And we'll have to have you on back again to continue the conversation. It's been such a pleasure hearing about the work that you are doing and in A21 and this walk for freedom. So thank you so much for your time today and giving us your insights and how people can participate in the A21 Walk for Freedom coming up Saturday, October 19th. I know that it's going to make a big difference, and we appreciate your work and leadership to make it happen.
Thanks, Nate. I appreciate your time and your help. Thank you.
If you would like more information and resources about human trafficking and what you can do, you can visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, learn the signs and indicators of trafficking that you need to be aware of, and how you can help partner with NFA to strengthen laws against trafficking and support survivors. You know, just last year, NFA supported new legislation that state senators passed unanimously that provided a new process for victims of trafficking to have convictions set aside and sealed from their records if they occurred while the individual was being trafficked. Because too often, women who are victims end up with charges of prostitution or drug possession on their record, even though those charges were really a result of their trafficking, and that can make it extremely difficult for them to regain control of their life. And earlier this year, our state legislature advanced a major anti-trafficking proposal that takes new steps to prosecute traffickers, target trafficking rings, and expand access to services for survivors. So we are making a difference in our state, and we're proud that Nebraska has taken big steps forward in combating trafficking, but there's still so much work that needs to be done. One victim is too many. But according to the Human Trafficking Initiative study out of Creighton University, 900 individuals are advertised for sex online each month in Nebraska. Know the signs, be vigilant, pray, and give time and resources to help stand for justice and protect the sanctity of all human life in Nebraska. That's all the time we have for this week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance. Hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.